Hello and welcome to Matchsticks and Microphones for the week of March 29th, 2011. I'm your host, Justin Azevedo. You can find me on Twitter at AzevedoJ, who is with me this evening.
Hi, Haley from Matchsticks and Gasoline, MG underscore Haley on Twitter.
And I'm Eric, also from Matchsticks and Gasoline, and I'm MG underscore A-R-I-K on Twitter.
Cool. So just the three of us tonight, and we'll get right into it.
The smoke.
Start off with the smoke, and just two games this week for the Flames against San Jose on Wednesday, 6-3 loss, and on Saturday against Edmonton, a 5-4 shootout win, which probably should have never got there in the first place. But anybody have anything to say?
We almost lost to Edmonton. I mean, that was bad. that was some just awful hockey for like 50 minutes. I mean, the only redeeming quality about that game was that Edmonton showed they still have no quality goaltending, which I am still very entertained by. And that's always something great. But and still, from the Flames' perspective, Jesus Christ, they are showing us as hard as they can that they are not a very high-quality team. They're a decent team and not a whole lot more.
Yeah, just two pretty disappointing games. I mean, obviously no one expected them to beat the Sharks, but they were in it for a decent amount of time. They probably could have at least come away with 1 point if they didn't completely lose control towards the end of the first period. And even after that, it was only a 2-goal deficit. And obviously, Saturday's game at Edmonton, pretty ironic that Steve Staios was the hero. Well, one of the heroes, I guess Alex Tanguay being the other one for scoring in the shootout. But other than that, yeah, just really not very many positives out of those two games. Especially with, you know, the season winding down.
And, I mean, the 6-3 score in the San Jose game wasn't exactly indicative of the quality of the game the Flames played. That game probably could have easily been 8-2 or 9-2.
Yeah.
The way that they didn't really do much to push back after the first period made me think it was going to be another massive blowout. But thankfully, they took a little bit of mercy on us this time.
And what the fuck has happened to Kiprusoff again? Like, this run of just awful games like he had earlier in the season. Like, I just don't know what's happening with him right now.
I honestly haven't really been watching that much since probably about the LA game because of a combination of the fact that it's, you know, tough to watch your team collapse like that, and I'm just absolutely swamped with schoolwork. But it's definitely just to see him struggle, especially again at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the we're kind of reaping the rewards of having that great run, which is coming back down to earth. And I mean, the Flames are never as bad as they were in the beginning of the season, and they were never quite as good as they were in that, like, not really end, but, you know, that late middle part of the season. You know, they're somewhere in between, which is thoroughly mediocre at best. And we're finally seeing that come down to earth. And it's frustrating. It really is, because, you know, we had our hopes built up and like, hey, we're actually gonna get to the playoffs, you know, for our, you know, yearly first round exit. And then it's like, no.
And I mean, the Flames aren't mathematically out of it, but most of the teams aren't mathematically out of it at this point. It's kind of just grasping at straws, right?
Yeah, if you have to put the word mathematically in there, it's done.
Yeah, I think the only team that's actually mathematically eliminated right now is Edmonton or Colorado, probably. So, but it obviously the whole, you know, 2-month sort of winning streak, whatever you want to call it, was enjoyable to watch. And I don't know, it's tough. Like, I think it is more depressing to end up this way than to just have been stuck in 14th all season and at least get to look forward to the off season and, like, a decent draft pick. But to get up there and get your hopes up and think that the team is, like, you know, doing better, and then to have them fall out of things near the end is pretty disappointing.
Cool. So if nobody else has anything to add, we'll move right into our second segment.
The Bonfire.
So into the bonfire, and this week we decided to take a little bit of an in-depth look at the prospects that the Flames have, starting off with our consensus number one between the three of us, Tim Erickson. And Eric, I think you've been following Tim's run during the playoffs during the SAL, and he's been playing something ridiculous like 28 minutes a night.
Yeah, well, basically his team, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it in the Swedish because I'm so bad at pronouncing things in English that I can't even imagine what Swedish will sound like coming from me, but you know, SAIK or whatever they are. They're in the semifinals of the SEL playoffs, and he's pretty much become their number one defenseman. I mean, we're talking about a 20-year-old kid, and he's playing in, like, a league with full-grown men. This isn't like, you know, oh, hey, he's in the WHL. He's playing 33 minutes. No, he's playing, like, in a legitimate, like, league with probably a higher quality of competition than the AHL has. But, yeah, he's putting up some massive massive amounts of ice time and a lot of shots on goal too. And whether this is because he's like turning it up or he's just, it's something clicked for him or whatever. It's just, it's great to see this from a Flames prospect. I mean, it's something we really haven't seen in a while. Just like a prospect really just look good and look like they're going to might take the next step. But basically, first round of the playoffs, they're playing again, just the acronym LHR, I think it was. I'll get the two teams backwards because the first round is LHR and the other round is LHC or vice versa. But they're playing this, they're playing another team. Went to the full seven games. He averaged about 22 minutes of ice time, which at that point was second on the team behind most likely the first overall draft pick this year, Adam Larson. But yeah, 22 minutes of ice time a night. A couple nights, he was first overall in ice time. Then this round, he's just been a monster. His fifth game was today, actually, but I never got around to checking the box scores on that. But I know the first four games of this current round against LHC, he's played an average of over 28 minutes a night.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, that includes a night where he played 33-52, which is just absurd. I mean, that's...
Is that an overtime game, I guess? Or
it was overtime, but all the games this round have been overtime. I mean, and part of that is because Larson did go down with an injury, but, I mean, still... that's just a massive amount of time to put up, especially when they have, you know, other good defensemen like David Runblad, who, as I discovered once, is his name translates to round leaf. they've got him. They've got a couple of just solid adult defenders. You know, the guys that will spend their entire professional lives in Sweden, but they're still quality defensemen. And he put up, I'll say, more than five minutes more ice time than the next player. In this round, he's had a 6-shot-on-goal game and a 5-shot-on-goal game. And according to Robert Cleave from Flames Nation, we were talking about this on Twitter, on the 33-minute game where he had 6 shots on goal, he also had 6 shots that missed the net, which, that's 12 shots taken in a single game, which is just absolutely nuts. And also, at this point, I don't see what else he can learn from being in Europe or even in the AHL. And he's got to be on the Flames next year. I'd rather him just play in the NHL because what's more important to me, I mean, you're going to learn to adapt to the North American game either way. And I'd rather him learn to adapt to it with NHL quality competition, even if it's just, fourth line scrubs, because that's where he's going to end up playing long term. I don't think he's ever going to be, Chris Pronger or like the best defenseman ever. But I mean, if we can get a third defenseman out of him, I will have zero complaints.
I don't think time in the AHL would necessarily hurt him at all. I don't know. It's hard to say if it would be extremely beneficial, but I don't think it would hurt, to get used to North America and North American game, quote unquote, whatever. But just as an aside, this whole thing with Pelikan Nygren is getting absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they are injured for like God knows how many games per season, and they're eating up cap space. And I feel like a bad person for saying it because obviously, I feel sorry for them, and I want them to get healthy, and I want to see what they're capable of. But I think it might be time to cut the cord on at least one of them.
And it's the same thing with Chucko, too. I mean, it's weird to see the organization continuously signing these guys to contracts. And I mean, maybe it is because these guys are first-round picks or second-round picks or high draft picks or trying to justify having them in the organization. But there's got to be a point where, yes, you do have to cut that cord, and you have to say, there are better guys at these positions in the organization that aren't Nygren, Pelich, and Chucko. And it's the age thing, too, right? I mean, these guys are getting pretty old now in terms of prospects.
There's kind of like a plateau, and they're getting older, and it's just you almost to the point where you can't really even consider them prospects anymore. Like, they're probably never going to make the NHL, and they're going to stick around and become like veteran journeyman AHLers, maybe see a couple games here and there when a team's really beaten up down the stretch going into the postseason or in the playoffs if they're lucky. But aside from that, I mean, the whole Chris Chucko situation is something where it's really sad, and you just hope that he can get better like away from the game and live a normal life and not be affected for the rest of his life by concussions and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, with all three of them, it's just time to move on.
So we move on to the next guy on the list, and Greg Namishen. I mean, some people have been a little bit disappointed with his performance in Abbotsford this year, just the 32 points in the 60 or so games that he's played. But I'm just wondering what you guys think of his performance thus far.
Because of how bad they are, I'm almost impressed more with him a little bit. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's because, he has nobody to play with. So, in that sense, I'm a little bit... I'm not upset. I don't think he's doing terrible, basically.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just having trouble I've never really gotten behind the Nemus hype. I've just never seen anything good really out of him. I remember watching him in that World Junior, and he was just floated. It was just a classic Sparkle Pants floater out there, just kind of skating around. It was just I've just never been very high on him as a prospect. I mean, like, played on just some stacked teams. And, you know, the other thing with Abbotsford is I feel like half the reason he has those points is because he's getting really cushy ice time. If you're getting that ice time, that really nice power play time, that really nice, you know, all those offensive zone starts, you know, the starts right after icing and so on, and you're only putting up, what was it, 30 points? Well, 30-something points, you know, in almost a full season at this point. That's not speaking good things about your capabilities. I mean, you know, he's also, I mean, doesn't he say, you know, he doesn't have a supporting cast in Abbotsford? He's not a supporting cast for anybody else either.
And he has been playing on the penalty kill a bit. I only know this because he had a few shorthanded goals, but I don't know. I just don't want to write him off. I don't know if it's the whole because he was a first-round pick thing or just because I am curious to see, like, what he's capable of or what he develops into, but I'm willing to give him some slack. You know, it's his first season in the AHL.
You mentioned that he was getting some penalty kill minutes, and I'm just wondering, is that because of necessity, the fact that everybody's hurt on Abbotsford, or everybody just sucks so much that he has to be put out there in that position? Or is he actually, you know, like a decent two-way forward, decent power penalty kill guy?
Or just there's nobody even remotely good enough. I mean, when he's one of the best players on that team, it's a bad team.
So the next guy on the list is Reinhaus, and cooled off a little bit after a pretty hot start for Chilliwack being invited to the World Junior camp, but obviously still respectable total going over points per game. But what do you guys got to say about him?
I think the general idea seems to be that he's a pretty one-dimensional player. You know, offense is all you're going to get out of him, which isn't necessarily a problem because obviously the Flames clearly lack that. But at the same time, you want someone who can play a little bit of a two-way game. So obviously that comes with time and development and so on. I mean, Steve Yzerman had to learn how to play defense. It can happen to anyone.
I was really high on House for a while. I mean, he had some really pretty goal scoring totals. I guess looking back at the completed season, I'm almost being a little bit disappointed just because, you know, last year he put up 47 points and he was tied for the league lead with Matt Calvert and some other guy. I don't remember who off the top of my head. He only increased that number by 4. You know, he only increased his assist total by 11, and this is like his last year in the WHL, and that's like when it's in your, you know, final year in WHL, you should have some pretty point numbers, and it's just like it's a given at that point if you're supposed to become something. And the things I keep hearing from people who've like seen him play like more than a couple times is that he has just an amazing shot, but he doesn't drive possession at all. He can't skate very well. Basically, like, he's not just a one-dimensional player, he's just like a one-line player, and that line is his shot. I mean, and you know, maybe he can, you know, but the other thing is that's one of those things that's really hard to develop. So if he can get to, you know, the AHL next year and they can teach him how to skate and they can teach him, you know, where to go on the ice, then great. Because that, you know, that can give us a legitimate offensive talent. If you can, you know, never learn how to skate really, if he can't learn how to back check or drive the play, I don't know. All I know is it just looks like his development stalled a little bit between last year and this year.
Well, again, just that he was a third round pick, right? Third round. So if he, like, it'll be, you know, a kind of a big deal if he even does turn into anything remotely resembling an NHL player, because your odds go significantly downhill from the first round. So
that was just that idea. And I mean, the point is, like, you're supposed to, ideally you want to expect every player drafted to become an NHLer. I mean, like, reasonably you can't, you know, that's not going to happen, but you want to expect to be able to expect that your team can draft and develop players. And, you know, and like complaining about House, you know, the complaints this year are not just like driving from, oh, he's not a very good third rounder, because I mean, there's been so many third rounders from the Flames the last few years. And, you know, the only one that's actually looking good is Brody, really. And Reinhart, we'll get to him in a minute. The reason we're complaining about Hauser now is because last year he did have what's relatively a pretty good year, but it's that he stalled, you know. And I feel like that is a legitimate complaint, you know, is his development stalled? You know, why is it stalling? You know, we're not saying, oh, he's a bad person or anything like that. We're not criticizing him as a human being. We're criticizing the lack of development.
I mean, obviously, it's worth criticizing. I can't, like, I haven't really looked at the numbers, so I can't speak for what I think of, has been happening to him, but there's a bunch of different factors that are hard to get a grasp of at the minor league level, just because you don't have access to information like his underlying stats and stuff like that. So you can't really get a grasp of the context and stuff like that. But who knows? It could be a case of bad bounces or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, and I agree. These guys are third-round picks. Maybe we are expecting too much of them just based on the fact that, you know, there is nobody else in the organization for us to put our hope into or whatever. But who knows? So, anyways, we'll move on to our next fellow, Eric's favorite, Max Reinhardt. But I'll cede the floor to him.
One of the bigger things that I've noticed with Reinhardt is, you know, back in, what was that, January, February, the ICE traded for Cody Eakin, who is now their first-line center.
And probably Canada's second-best player at the World Juniors this year as well.
Yeah, and Reinhardt hasn't really slowed his pace at all. You know, before it's not like he had great wingers to begin with, and his wingers are actually even worse now, and he's still doing the same quality play. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm not expecting him to become a top-line center. That's ridiculous. That's unreasonable to expect from a, you know, 18-year-old kid, maybe 19 right now, I'm not sure. As far as, do I think he has a chance to make the NHL? Yeah, I do. I think he has a better chance than a lot of the other prospects we have right now, with all the other forward prospects, rather. I mean, he's shown to be a consistent performer on a not very good team, or not necessarily not very good team, but a not very high-skill team. He's, you know, shown to be able to do that no matter where he is in the lineup. I talked about this earlier this week. I wrote a post about Max Reinhardt, and he scored a shorthanded goal. That stood up as the game-winning goal in the Ice's second playoff game. Yeah, so he's getting penalty kill in the playoffs, which is great. You know, I mean, if we can get a third line center who's, you know, able to drive possession, kind of like David Moss or something, that right there is just terrific.
I would be ecstatic if Reinhardt turned out to be as good a player as David Moss is.
Yeah, but I would like to point out that the Flames have until July 1st this summer to sign him.
What the fuck? You mean they haven't signed to his entry-level contract yet?
Nope.
Jesus Christ, Daryl.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. Basically, I mean, because from what I've gathered, the Flames haven't really even tried to sign Reinhardt yet. If July 1st hits and he hasn't been signed and he becomes a free agent, or he goes back into the draft, rather, I'm going to be pissed.
I know, like, I guess the whole thing about his dad playing for the Flames, maybe he wouldn't want to go back into the draft, but you never know.
And, I mean, there is a lot to be excited with Reinhardt. He's a centerman. He obviously sees the ice very well and has some talent. And, you know, he's scored pretty close in terms of points per game to Ryan House. And, you know, being a year younger, he still has that advantage, still can grow, I guess, physically and mentally. And, you know, I'm actually legitimately excited to have him as a prospect, and we'll see how his career arc goes. But good talk, everybody. We'll move into our next segment.
The Kindling.
So just a quick look at the games ahead this week for the Flames. First of all, tomorrow night against Anaheim, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Friday against St. Louis in St. Louis, 6 o'clock Mountain Time. And Sunday against Colorado in Colorado, also 6 o'clock Mountain Time. So anybody got anything to say about those?
Solani is going to do something ridiculous and somehow cause the Flames to lose, therefore sealing their eventual fate. That's my prediction.
And I mean, the way the Flames have played the past 2 to 10 games, I'm extremely hesitant to say that the Colorado or the St. Louis game is a automatic win.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't feel comfortable predicting a win in either of those games after the way that game in Edmonton went. Especially since TJ Oshie will conveniently return for the game against the Flames after his 2-game suspension for missing practice.
Eric saying that the line blender will be in full effect for those games, he expects, and he is also campaigning for Greg Nemish to be the first line center for Jerome Iginla. So that'll get him the 5 or so goals in a game, right, Eric? Yeah.
Right, Nemish and Backlund. That might be the thing that pushes Jerome Iginla over the edge. Fuck these two. I would do this all by myself.
The sad reality is that that could very well happen, but we'll move on to flameouts. Haley, do you have anything?
Well, just talking about Jerome Iginla, I mean, needs 5 points to reach 1,000 for his career, I think. So, you know, that would be completely awesome if he got that done before the end of the season, which I don't doubt, because there's 5 games left in the season. You know, he only needs to score a point per game to do that, and he got 3 points last game. So, yeah, I'd love to see him get that done. Another milestone for him.
Eric says that his shout-outs are to myself and WI for sending him packages. I sent him a seat cushion from the Heritage Classic, and WI sent him some Smarties, some actual Smarties, the candied covered chocolate, not those fake Smarties that the crazy Americans have that are actually rockets. As for myself, I don't really have much. The first thing is that I guess I'm trying to grow a beard or something on my face and eventually maybe styled into a Fu Manchu or handlebars. I guess we'll see how that happens. And I've actually started a new Tumblr blog at hockeyandbooze.tumblr.com. Just a basic thing. I don't really talk about hockey too much. It's more of my musings, but once in a while it does appear there, so it'd be awesome if you guys would go check it out. But other than that, I think we're done for the week. And get Haley at MG_Haley on Twitter, Eric at MG_Eric on Twitter, both of them at matchsticksandgasoline.com. I myself am at AzevedoJ on Twitter, and everybody have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.